Good evening, this is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this 23rd Sunday after Pentecost, proper 25 year B. Today we commemorate Provincial Youth Sunday. Our readings today, Job chapter 42, verses 1 to 6 and 10 to 17, Psalm 34, the letter to the Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 to 28, and the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Let us pray. The Lord is here, and we will praise Him. The Lord is here, and we will worship Him. The Lord is here, and we will trust Him. The Lord is here, and we will honor Him. The Lord is here, and He has called us to give Him all the glory. Amen. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come because we must. We come because we ought to. We come because we need to. We come because we long to. We come because in you we have a joy and gladness we have never known before. We come because you are the Lord. Amen. Coming into your presence, Lord, is like coming home. It is here that we first found you, or rather, you found us. It is here that again and again we have to meet with you, rejoice in your love, and found the strength to continue our journey. Again and again, your majesty, your glory, and your power overwhelm us and outstrip anything our tiny, finite minds could hope to comprehend. Again and again, you remind us that you are not confined by time or place or eternity. Lord, speak to us the word that will sweep away our doubts, strengthen us in our weakness, and provide that opportunity to begin again, which we so long to have. Amen. We have our hymn, CPWI 427, Through All the Changing Scenes of Life. We pray the collect for proper 25, followed by a prayer for our youth as we celebrate Provincial Youth Sunday, and then our parish prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, increasing us the gifts of faith, hope, and charity, and that we may obtain what you promise, make us love what you command. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. God our Father, we pray for our young people growing up in an unstable and confusing world. Show them that your ways give more meaning to life than the ways of the world, and that following you is better than chasing after selfish goals. Help them to take failure not as a measure of their worth, but as a chance for a new start. Give them strength to hold their faith in you and keep alive their joy in your creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, Our Blindness, Spiritual, Not Physical. Our Blindness, Spiritual, Not Physical. By the grace of God, many of us are able to see, even if we have to wear spectacles to aid our sight. We are able to behold the beauty of God's creation. Unfortunately, there are many of us who have lost their sight. They are able to live full lives, however, with the aid of many devices, including Braille, which assists them in reading, guide dogs to lead them about, specially designed computers to aid in their learning, and other devices, in addition to the fact that having lost one sense, the others become more highly developed and therefore more sensitive. While physical blindness is challenging, spiritual blindness has even more serious consequences. Spiritual blindness can be defined as our inability to acknowledge and recognize the God who is spirit and who can do all things and no purpose of who can be thwarted. Job chapter 42 verse 2. In our spiritual blindness, we fail to recognize that we are made in the image of God, a triune God who is Father, Son, and Spirit, just as we are body, mind, and spirit. In our spiritual blindness, we do not seek to have our spirit in touch with God's spirit, and therefore we fail to acknowledge God's love, goodness, faithfulness, mercy, and justice. In part of his physical ordeal, Job is spiritually blind. He wants to question God. He desires to have an explanation from God for his suffering. However, when God presents his case in a litany of questions on God's accomplishment, Job's spiritual eyes are open. He is left almost speechless. His words are now uttered with reverence and humility. Job responds, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge. He confesses, "Therefore, I have uttered what I do not understand, things too wonderful for me which I do not know. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." Job chapter 42, verses 2, 3, and 6. Job is cured of his spiritual blindness. He no longer feels the need to defend himself against attacks and the advice of his friends, who are also spiritually blind, and as a consequence, whose understanding is limited and self-serving. In the presence of God, who created the universe, who knows everything and is a righteous judge, Job can let go of the need to defend himself and state his innocence. With his spiritual blindness healed, he repents of insisting of his own righteousness. He surrenders to the righteous judge, who is God. Spiritual blindness can also affect those who have been called to be disciples of Christ. On the road to Caesarea Philippi, Peter declared that Jesus was the Messiah. But he and the other apostles, in their spiritual blindness, did not fully understand what Messiahship entailed. On several occasions, Jesus attempted to teach them that Messiahship meant suffering and death. However, on every occasion, the disciples failed to understand or accept what Jesus was teaching. Mark records, "Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Mark chapter 8, verses 32 and 33. The disciples recognized Jesus as the Messiah, but in their spiritual blindness, they could not grasp what being the Messiah entailed for Jesus and those who would follow him. Jesus tries to help. He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Anyone who wants to become my follower, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will find it." Mark chapter 8, verses 34 and 35. The disciples were not cured of their spiritual blindness. For James and John would come forward and say to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one on your right hand and one on your left in your glory." Mark chapter 10, verses 35b to 37. In their spiritual blindness, they did not understand that discipleship is not about status or position. It is about suffering. Jesus asked them if they were able to drink of the cup of suffering that he had to drink. The response in anger of the 10 other disciples to James and John demonstrated that they too were still spiritually blind. And Jesus had to give them a new definition of greatness. He says, "Whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Mark chapter 10, verses 44 and 45. In today's gospel from Mark chapter 10, 46 to 52, we encounter an individual who is spiritually blind, who is physically blind, but spiritually sightful. Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth passing by, he shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He understood that the Messiah would be a descendant of King David, and therefore a king himself. When Bartimaeus addressed Jesus as the Son of David, he was not only honoring him as a king of Israel, but he was seeing Jesus as the one who had the authority and power to heal his physical blindness. Jesus is moved by his spiritual insight. He says to Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" The same response he made to the spiritually blind James and John. The blind man knew what he wanted. He could see clearly spiritually and therefore recognized who Jesus was. He wanted to see Jesus face to face. He responds, "My teacher, let me see again." Verse 51b. Jesus, acknowledging his spiritual insight, said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Mark records, immediately he regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way. Verse 52. With his spiritual insight, Bartimaeus would commit to following Jesus, knowing very well that the Son of David, the Messiah, was on the way to Jerusalem to suffer and die. Bartimaeus, who was physically blind, demonstrated spiritual sightfulness. He not only recognized and acknowledged Jesus as the Messiah with the ability to restore his physical sight, but he committed to be his disciple, to follow him to Jerusalem, to his suffering and death. He was indeed a true disciple. We need to ask ourselves, what is the condition of our spiritual sight? Are we able not only to acclaim Jesus as the Son of God, the Savior of the world, but to live by the principles and precepts that Jesus taught? Are we able to love the Lord our God with all that we are? Are we able to love our neighbors as ourselves? Are we able to love as Jesus loves? If we are spiritually blind, we must acknowledge that Jesus, the great high priest, the one who died that we might have life in all its abundance, can heal our spiritual blindness. He can enable us to see and have a relationship with God, with whom all things are possible. Jesus can cure our spiritual blindness and enable us to live as true disciples, following the guidance of the Holy Spirit, who will lead us to all truth, the truth about God and the truth about ourselves. Amen. Let us pray. Righteous Lord, we wait on your word. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on your church. Pour out your healing spirit on our divisions. Cure the spiritual blindness that prevents us from perceiving and following your call. Righteous Lord, we wait on your word. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on the nations. Pour out your healing spirit bringing peace with justice. Open our eyes to see the consequences of environmental destruction and pollution. Righteous Lord, we wait on your word. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on our financial institutions. Pour out your healing spirit on all who are materially rich, yet emotionally and spiritually poor. Restore the balance to our balance sheet to take account of human costs. Righteous Lord, we wait on your word. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on all who call out for relief in their suffering. Bring your healing spirit upon them. Bring relief to all in need. Righteous Lord, we wait on your word. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on all at the hour of our death. Pour out your life-restoring spirit on the faithful departed. By your intercession, may we find true peace with the Father. Righteous Lord, we wait on your word. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. We have the hymn, Praise to the Lord the Almighty.
The King of Creation.
Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, O God, we pray that you will continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And in your journeys to and fro, may God direct you. In your happiness and pleasure, may God bless you. In care, anxiety, or trouble, may God sustain you. In peril and in danger, may God protect you. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you, today and always. Amen. And we wish you a very spirit-filled, rewarding, and productive week. We pray that you will continue to demonstrate spiritual sight and therefore strive daily to be a true disciple of Christ. We end today with the hymn CPWI 495. Amazing Grace. CPWI 495.